Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. At the sound of their voices, doorposts and thresholds shook at the temple. Was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Okay, how many people have had that coal touch your lips? Everybody should be raising their hand right now because it is true. You have been set apart. You have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. I just glorify your name, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Your glory is filling this earth, Father. You are using us, Father. And it also says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your guilt is taken away. And your sin atoned for. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. And God says, go and tell His people.
Yes.
Okay, now you have it. John turned me on. He really did. And the way we think, it's amazing. But He did turn me on. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning. Father, I thank you that we're lively stones in the body of Christ and that Jesus sees the head of the corner. Therefore, we can build straight up to you, Father, and toward one another. Father, I thank you for the angels that encamp round about us, the ministers of the heirs of salvation, to the saved and the unsaved. Father, I thank you for the engrafted word, for the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Father, I thank you for the price that was paid for our redemption, the blood of Jesus. You said in your word, the life is in the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we're so grateful, Father, that that life that is in you, that was manifested in the flesh in Jesus, because we have trusted in your operation, that life is now resident within us. Father, I thank you that you don't leave us to be raised again by the flesh, but you left us a parent in the Holy Spirit that we should be raised in the likeness of our Redeemer and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for the good ground of our born-again spirit, because now the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I so much appreciate Sam's word this morning because I'm a very insecure person within myself to do this thing that I've been doing for a number of years now. So I always come to the point that I think I don't know anything. I forget everything, what I'm going to say. I don't know anything. But there are things, you know, when we come to church, we should be ready to hear what God is saying to us. Because the scripture says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, today, if you will hear his voice, it says, harden of your hearts. I don't like to come to church with a hardened heart. Right. I like to come with a soft heart so that the Lord can touch it and model it and change it the way he sees fit. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? So when he says, you know, about the coals that touch your lips, your iniquity is removed, I knew I was forgiven. But that's just me. This morning, I would like to address some issues that are going on in the whole world. I don't know if you heard the news, but this crisis that is so bad is affecting many families. Perhaps many of you are sitting right here suffering from this thing. In California, I heard that a family husband killed the wife, the children, or even killed himself. I don't know what overtakes the mind of a person that will cause him to do that. Well, I think I know. I mean, I think we all know. Or anyone that is close to the Lord and the Word of God, I think you know. But what I found is this one thing, that when all these things go around, the place that gets most affected is the church.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
And it shouldn't be that way. This crisis, what I've shown, is where men have placed their trust in. Men have trust to, they have learned to put their trust in things, in the stock market, in a job, in a situation that have been going fine, and all of a sudden the carpet has been taken from under their feet, and they don't know what to do. We're going to look at the scripture a little bit and see what the scripture has to say about these things. Amen? Amen. And I'm not going to leave you with a sad note. I'm going to leave you with a good note. Because I don't like sad notes. Amen? But let's look in the book of 1 Jeremiah chapter 17. And let us look at the difference when a man is trusting God and a man is trusting his fellow man. And let me interject here in parentheses that one thing you're never ever going to see is what God is, what He means to us, and the value that He has in the stock market with the Dow Jones and the Nasdaq going, taking a nosedive because God is not up today. Because God and His Word has lost its value. You're never going to see that. Amen? Because God's economy and God's logistics is not subject to the devices of men.
Right.
Amen? Amen? So you're never going to open the Wall Street Journal and see that God's commodities has taken a nosedive.
That is right.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It ain't going to happen. Now in verse 5 says, thus says the Lord, curse be the man that trusted in men and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. Well, it is obvious that if you make something else that is not God your strength, you have to depart from him. You have to abandon him. Amen? For he shall be like a heath in the desert. You can say like a shrub, you know, a small shrub in the desert. And shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabit it. Let me tell you, a very sorrowful place, a very dry place. Amen? And the sad thing about this, again, is that people that are trusting in men, or whatever it is, apart from God, they cannot see when good comes. How many times you yourself have shared the gospel with people and they will reject it because they don't need God in their life?
Yeah.
Amen? I tell you, I like to see when good comes to me. Don't you? I like to see it coming. Well, I know that it's coming because Deuteronomy 28 tells us, he says that if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, these blessings shall follow you and overtake you. How many like to be overtaken? I like to be overtaken. I like to be wrestled down to the ground and be told, you're blessed, whether you like it or not, you're blessed. Amen. But look at this. He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Amen. You know, I, in the place that I work, a lot of people are living for Friday. And some people are living for retirement. I know this little lady, I mean, she can hardly walk. And she's been there 33 years. She's been living to be working 50 years. And you say, honey, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to last till tomorrow. You need to take care of yourself first. What is the point of work? And then the next day you retire, you drop dead.
Yeah.
And maybe without the Lord. Amen. I mean, I thank God, you know, that I don't live for Friday.
Right.
Can you hear me now? Let me put it in my pocket.
There you go.
It is one thing to live for Fridays and to live for retirement, and another thing is to live for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And this is the difference. Listen to me. Listen well. Listen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when he comes. I like that. Amen. I mean, you are impervious to what is going around you. Because you're not looking at the circumstances. Because the circumstances and the job is not your hope. The Lord is your hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Isn't that good news? Amen.
Amen.
And shall not be careful in the year of drought. That means it's not going to have an anxious care when it seems that some things are going to lack. Mm-hmm. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I like that. You see, all depends where you're planted.
Yes.
Your position where you're planted. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you this thing, I am not anxious for none of the things. And I want to encourage you, you don't have to be anxious absolutely for nothing if you trust in the Lord, if the Lord is your hope.
That's right.
I hate the word retirement. People, when they speak about retirement, pretty soon they're talking about assisted living. You know, assisted living is a death sentence. And then they want to sell you, you know, earlier than that, if you caught up with the in crowd or the out crowd, it is this life insurance. Get a clue. It's not a life insurance. It is a death insurance.
That is right.
Amen. I don't like to fellowship with people that only be talking about the next appointment with the doctor. What is the new ailment they're going through? Or what is the new pill they need to go and make line to get, you know, to get a little bit better? Amen. Why? Because my hope is not in that. My hope is in the Lord. I was thinking this year is going to be 22 years I've been coming here. And between Pastor Cook and Pastor Jan and some of the others, you know, everything that I learn here. And I am a product of this church. Sometimes it's scary because I got to look at myself and I hear myself speaking. Man, I sound like Pastor Jan, but with an accent. Well, like father or... Now, look at this. I'm going to show to you that in spite of the circumstances, the Lord will always provide for you.
Yes, amen.
David said, and it's the truth. You see, you cannot take parts of the scripture and manipulate whatever you want, you know. Take some things and leave others outside. Like some people says, you know, the preacher comes and I go home and I have to, you know, throw out the sticks. No. I'm not going to give you no sticks. That was my job, to remove the sticks.
Yep.
Amen. These guys never giving me sticks to digest so I can go home and regurgitate the sticks. Amen. Now, I'm going to go to an example in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, and then we're going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall no be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you." Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? He proclaims a drought by the word of the Lord. He says, you don't have to worry because I have commanded. I have given commandment to the ravens to feed you. This is not a fable, people. This is not a children's story. This is the truth.
Amen.
This is truth. This happened.
Yes.
Some of you need to hear that this really actually happened. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And some of you have been in a place that have been dried up. And you're whining and complaining because the brook dried up. You know, I got to tell you something. It is time to move up.
Amen.
It is time to get over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Because perhaps you've been looking too much at that thing that has become an idol for you.
Mm-hmm.
The source of everything. The last time I checked this book, Jehovah is still Jehovah Jireh. Thank you.
Yeah.
Our provider. You know, when people whine and complain about their job over there, I always acknowledge that they know me. Because I tell them, when they get fearful, God give me this job and no one can take it away from me except the Lord.
That's right.
You see, you need to know who is your provider, because if you give that power to human beings and to the adversary, human being has the power and the ability to take it away from you. But if you entrust everything to the Lord, nobody can take it away from you. I mean, I understand that we can suffer for righteousness' sake and for unrighteousness, but the Bible says it's better to suffer for righteousness' sake. It perhaps, you know, it can be taken away from you for righteousness, but I tell you, they got something coming.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen? Because nobody can mess up with your life and go in, you know, without suffering the consequences.
That's right.
Because you're a child of God. Not that you're looking for vengeance or anything like that. But let me tell you, even in nature, there's a law that says for every action, there is a reaction. You know what the world says? What goes around, baby, comes around. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Sarepta, which belongs unto Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. You know what it shows me over here? It will be good to know what is the next step, right? That the Lord has for our lives. Because we're not all prophets. And being a prophet doesn't mean you know what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
But it does show me something. That this man, in spite of the circumstances, he remained in fellowship with the Lord.
Yes, he did.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Well, we have heard this thing over here. People that say, well, I'm going to take my sabbatical because I got to raise some problem. How many times you heard that, Pastor? People that need to take sabbaticals. Yeah. It probably is the stupidest thing you ever heard in your life.
Exactly.
Because sabbatical is that you are going to rest. And to rest is in the completed work of God. People, the first place you're going to show up is in church.
That's right.
In prayer. You're going to join yourself with the Lord because you're going to rest in Him. You're going to let Him carry you in every situation.
Amen.
And for us, every day should be a day of rest. It's out of the question. Amen. We don't have to have a day or a week. All we have to have is the Lord in our life and to know His word and obey.
Yes.
Amen. Can I hear an amen? I tell you, I'm going to give me one of those Victor Bobbin dolls. Amen. And you shake it. Amen. I said that about the Spirit. No, don't judge me. So he arose and went to Sarepta. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering on stick. It's good to know that God doesn't lie, eh? What the Lord told him, that's what he found over there. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. You cannot think of a more desperate situation than to eat your last meal and just with your son, and that's it. And here comes the man of God and says, no, you got to give me first.
Yeah.
You got to give me first. And which points to something very important. When God tells you to do something, it's not going to sound logical. Because he doesn't move with the logic of the world, neither with the economy of the world. Two different things.
Amen.
The logic and the economy of the world will tell you that unless you got lots of money, you cannot make it. And yet the economy of the Lord says, let the poor say, I am rich.
Amen.
When you go to the doctor will give you the bad news. But Isaiah 53 says, who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If you are a believer, the arm of the Lord has been revealed to you, then you have the right to say, I am healed.
Amen.
Because I was healed. Amen. And so on and so forth. Verse 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did it many days. You know how many days it was? About 3 plus years,
yeah.
Brother?
Yeah.
I mean, that's many days. Amen? Yeah. That the thing never dried up. I remember the pastor in Cuba one time told me, they went to this place, and they were cooking in their home. And they had this pot of rice. And more people came. I said, I don't know what we're going to do. They're very hospitable. But let me tell you, they began to boil out rice and rice and rice and rice and rice until everybody got their full stomach of rice. Because they never dried up. Amen. Once you bless the thing, it's blessed. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. I like that. Amen. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me show you something. I am so thirsty. Now, like I said, usually the tendency is that when you are going through a struggle is to cut back. Amen. Spending. And the first thing we can think about is if we need to cut back the tithes and the offerings. And you know, you might as well walk around with a noose in your neck. Why are you walking like that, bro? Because I stopped giving to the Lord. Look at this. Verse 1, chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, you don't cast bread on the water, amen? What you cast is the fruit of your labor, amen? The bread that you bring. That's what you cast upon the waters. Glory be to God forevermore. Thank you, brother. Now, when I think about the waters, about casting bread, the fruit of my labor, upon the waters, I think about two things. Because water signifies, one, the Word of God. I learned this from Maureen Hoffman. One time, years ago, she was preaching. He says, learn to walk on the water of the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen? So the first thing is that you have to cast the fruit of your bread upon the... Look at the water of the Word of God and learn to cast your bread there. Amen? Mm-hmm. And the rest has a symbolism with people in the church and out of the church. Amen?
Yes.
Now, the Lord says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. And you know what the Lord is saying? Diversify your portfolio. Amen?
Yep.
You give your tithe, but open your heart. Because the Lord wants other places where you can invest. And I tell you, when you invest in the Lord, there's a high yield of return. I don't know much about investment. I know about the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. There's a high yield of return.
Yes, it is.
And then God is not like the credit card that constantly changes the terms of agreement. Can I hear him? Amen. God is not going to change. Every so often that the situation changes, He's going to change the terms of agreement in you. And if you default, He's going to, you know, kick you up 30% of interest because you are not making the grade. The Lord said, diversify. It comes back to that. You have to remain in fellowship with the Lord.
Yes.
To be able to hear what He's saying to you so that you can put your money where it will produce. Mm-hmm. Where it can have an increase. Amen? Now, look at this. He says, verse 3, he says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, when I think about this, I thought over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, let's go over there for a second. Because it's speaking about clouds. If the clouds be full, they empty themselves. We know a little bit about that over here in Washington. Amen? Okay. You need a Puerto Rican to come and tell you that, right? But in Isaiah 55, the Lord says something very interesting. Verse 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. And it is evident that if we are trusting in the arm of flesh as our source for everything... Amen. Our ways cannot be like His ways.
That's right.
And then He says, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then he puts this here in verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send.
Amen.
So what he speaks again is about a fellowship. Amen. Because what he's saying, well, you stand in your in whatever it is the situation around you in the presence of the Lord, you are the container of the glory of God. You are the dam that holds the well of salvation, that when you let it run, guess what? Arraba sukra matase, rivers of living water begins to flow out of you. Amen. And God, you know, what you're doing is you are arresting your emotions. You are arresting your thinking. Amen. Like it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it speaks about, you know, speaking to yourself with psalms and meanings and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And he speaks about not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because in that sense of the anointing, in the natural we can call it the stupor of the flesh. Amen. In which the flesh is those of you can trust the Lord to the ultimate. Mm-hmm. And there's no limit to him.
That's right.
Amen. So what you're doing, God is beginning to see what? The pregnant clouds of your prayers. Amen. And what he's going to do, he's looking at your faith. And he's going to cause it, baby, to come down, that rain back onto your ground. First, he had to produce in the ground of your born-again spirit so that thing becomes a reality in the inside of you before you even get to see it. It's already in the album of your heart and settled in your mind.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, if going back over here, if the clouds be full of rain, what's going to happen? They're going to empty themselves.
Yes.
Amen. And that speaks about the position that I have with God that give me the right to go enter boldly into his presence.
Amen.
Amen. I have access to him and he has access to me. Remember in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel grew before the Lord,
right,
before the Eli the priest. And there's a little statement there that says that God did not let none of the words of Samuel fall to the ground.
That's right. That's true.
You know why? Because when you value one another's word, you pay attention to what the other is saying.
Yes.
God values his word and he values God's words.
Yes.
Nothing is wasted.
Amen.
Amen. So when you are full of him,
mm-hmm,
amen.
Yep.
It's like Sam said, who will go for us?
Right.
Here I am, Lord. You empty yourself,
yes,
of your fears, of your circumstances. Why? Because nothing else matters.
Right.
Because he's going to take care of you.
That's right.
Well, we're not talking about that love. I mean, God has ministered to me so much about my love, that love that paid for my salvation,
mm-hmm,
paid for the rest of our journey, people.
Yes, it did.
And we learn to trust the ability, the capacity of that love, we're going to be okay.
Amen.
And listen to this. It really struck me how God thinks. Because when he thought to compare the zealousness, the aggressivity of his love, he has in mind a chicken. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have loved to gather you as a chicken will gather his brood, but you would not let me. Now, I know chickens. Now I got two in my house. But when I was growing up, you know, only my grandmother could touch the chickens and the eggs. Well, that little thing, when I went to touch it, she would inflate herself, and she thought she was, I don't know, some kind of ostrich. She didn't care about her life. She only cared about the little chicks. Have you ever seen a hen carrying all the little chicks or the little leg hanging around?
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about love, honey.
Yeah.
That's real love. That is willing. It don't care how big you are. It is the capacity of the heart,
right,
what really matters. And I tell you, God's capacity in his heart to love us and to protect us has not diminished.
Right.
He has always remained the same.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, amen?
That's our position. Now, he says, this, apostle me, maybe there's another answer I thought to ask you. If a tree falls to the north or to the south, where it falls, they remain. That really, it all has to do with where you plant your seed. Amen?
Yes.
But you're going to be directed. Because trust me, many a time when you are going to obey the Lord, you're going to have to die just like a tree, even though you planted by the rivers of living water.
Amen.
You're going to have to fall by the side where the Lord is at. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Amen? Now tell me it is easy to give to the Lord when you got all these things going up in your life and you make the decision that in spite of everything, of the creators and everything, you're going to put the Lord first.
Amen.
Your mind's going to go bonkers, your flesh going to cry out, and then the phone's going to start ringing and you're going to wonder if you make the right decision. I'm telling you today that you have made the right decision. Don't change it for nothing. Talk to them. You learned that here. Talk to your creditors. Talk to whoever you're going to talk to. Say, I'm going to pay you right now. I'm not able, but I'm going to do something about it. As a matter of fact, I'm doing something about it. You are putting first the money for it really matters in the house of God. Matter of fact, I didn't talk to Pastor Cook. I didn't talk to nobody to speak about this measure. The Lord told me to share this with you.
That's right.
I never preach about money. But I have to speak about the truth. And the truth is that if you put God in the back burner, well, baby, he's going to put you in the back burner.
Yeah.
Because he said, I'll be with you while you be with me. And if you forsake me, hey, you're on your own, honey.
Right.
I don't like to be on my own.
Dude.
You know, the worst thing is that you live in a house with somebody who won't talk to you and won't take care of you. He lives in the inside of us.
Amen.
That's good.
Well, you get this before the service over. Now look at this. Look at this. He that observes the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap.
Mm-hmm.
If you begin to look at everything that are around, guess what? It's going to paralyze you. It will stop you.
Yes.
Not because you are not blessed, because you are. You see, being blessed has nothing to do with the economy. Being blessed has everything to do with Abraham did back there with the Lord that he received as a bystander, so to speak, in agreement with them.
Right.
Amen? You're blessed. We're blessed people.
Amen.
The thing about it is that I think many a time we go the wrong way about it to get to what is already being provided for us.
Right.
We got completely wrong. I mean, it is interesting. We all sat at the same table here with you. And I've seen, people that helped me, that really I look up to them. And today they're not here. And I miss him, but I tell you this one thing. We all ate the same thing, but we didn't chew it the same way.
Right.
Some of them went, and we went home. I don't know what was all that about. But I tell you, I like to chew. As a matter of fact, many a time when I come here and I leave that parking lot, I say, Lord, I want to pray with my heart. I want to keep my heart. I'm going to believe for 100-fold return of the word of God.
Yeah.
And just because it's not Pastor John, it's not Pastor Cook Christian, I'm not going to stop paying attention or I'm not going to show up. Matter of fact, I got the CDs. You're not giving for me. I listen to them. Because you have to take connected to the vine so that you can produce fruit.
Yeah.
It is so in the spirit and it's so in the natural.
Yes.
You cannot have an economic crisis to come into church. That's when you need to come because this is a city of refuge.
Amen.
This is a safe heaven
for
all of us, where we can find counsel, where we can find exhortation, where we can find comfort, where we can find hope, where we can find a way out. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Bible says in 1 Corinthians, they had no temptation or test or trial taking you, such as is coming to man, that God with the test of the trial will give you a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. You're not going to be crushed.
Right.
Matter of fact, let me show it to you by the scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Read it real quick. Pastor Jen, I read this so many times. Why are we getting it? Look at this. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4. He said, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It makes reference to Genesis, but it's more than that. It makes reference to the day that we have received the Lord and He commanded the light of the life of Christ to shine upon our hearts. But He also speaks in those circumstances where everything seems so dark that we cannot see. For that time, for that situation, amen, the Lord has already light prepared for us so that He has, remember how He commanded Elijah? He already had commanded what? Ravens. I already have commanded a widow. So the Lord already has commanded a word for you that is going to meet you in that place. Amen. So out of your darkness, in your understanding, in your heart, God through that light can remove it. Yes. And you can see that you're not going under. Amen. Especially when you come over here. You begin to understand, honey, that when the praises go up, the blessing is going to come down.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Woo! Hallelujah. He makes me want to shout. Amen. Yeah. Glory be to God. Because, you see, there was a time I wouldn't pay attention to the... I'm taking a rabbit trail here. But to the songs, because I like the beat, you know. But now when I come, I pay attention. Why? Because we're praising Him.
Yes.
Amen. And even in the prayer, prepare us for this time when we're going to have the full meal.
Yeah.
That was an entree. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Nutritious nonetheless. Amen. Now, look.
"But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us."
Verse 8.
"We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. For we which are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh, so then death worketh in us, but life in you."
Mm-hmm.
Always dying. Why? Because you know what I found out about dead people? Because I open the morgue with David Madigan. Their interest in this life ceases. They don't worry about the economy. Matter of fact, they cannot even vote next. You know, they don't care who's going to be next president.
That's right.
And you cannot get more sick than be already dead, baby.
Yeah.
So when we read Romans chapter 6, when it really commands us, it's not a suggestion to reckon, to consider, to think it, to believe it, that we already died together with Christ. Guess what? There's nothing. No weapon that is formed against you that can prosper. It might touch you, but it cannot prosper. That is the point of it. You might get the little flu. You might get this and that might come to you. But it cannot prosper because the Lord has put boundaries.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
For the cause that He has joined Himself to your spirit, which He gave to us. Oh, can I hear an amen?
Amen, brother. Hallelujah.
Now let's go back over here. Verse 6 of Ecclesiastes. "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou wilt know whether it shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether they be both shall be alike." Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a tendency, and I remember when I was, you know, when I first started coming here, immediately, I began to work with the 3-year-olds. Immediately, I began to give. I don't know why people have such a hard time giving. You know, arguing whether tithes, New Testament, Old Testament. You know, I know that my God is Old Testament, New Testament.
Yeah.
And the one that lives in the inside of me. And nobody had to tell me to give. Even before I had a church, I used to give to the 700 Club before it's just my nature. That nature wanted me to give and to help and to do something about it. And when I was searching for the voice of God, and I thought it was going to come from, you know, from heaven, Victor, it didn't come from heaven. It came from the inside of me. What a discovery. That He lives in the inside of me.
Right.
And that His influence, as He was touched with all my infirmities, well, I've been infused with His strength. With His desire, with His feeling, with His emotions. And you know, He likes to give.
Amen.
No argument there.
Right.
When you're in fellowship with Him, you like to give and you don't hold back. And let me say it very clear. And I heard this from other preachers. I learned it here somewhere. I didn't invent the wheel. If you don't give the full tithe, you're not tithing, you're tipping the Lord. And you're stealing yourself of the fullness of the blessing. You know, thank God we're not on the lockers. We have to pay our interest in the part that we didn't give. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of joy, believe it or not. Amen. Because the Lord wants to take care of us. And He will take care of us. Amen. Now, in the book of Galatians 6, let's go over there before I close. Galatians. Okay, here we go. 6. Let's start with verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You see, that's why it's so important that the thing about casting bread upon the water is that you invest first. Eh? Mm-hmm. In the water that is going to go to your heart. Because if that water comes and there is no seed in your heart, nothing's going to come out of that ground.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And verse 9. "And let us not be weary and well doing." When nothing's been sown and growing in your heart, we tend to grow weary, people. Oh, we do. Don't let the condemnation set in. Come to church and let your ground be tilled. Let the stone be removed.
Yes.
Let some of that, you know, some of those binds with thorns be taken out of your heart. And let the gates begin in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
"And let us not be weary and well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint." You know, there is a due season coming to every one of us. If we don't faint, if we don't lose heart, that's what it means. If we don't lose heart and you've been waiting upon the Lord, you're not going to be put to shame because you trusted in Him. Sometimes we throw the towel even before we are at the threshold of the victory. You know, they say in the world, no pain, no gain. It's going to cause you a little pain, the flesh. Because don't like to wait on God. Don't like to praise God. Don't like to give to God. Don't like to be in the presence of God. That's why you have to be there to do this thing.
That's right.
Amen, Pastor Cook?
Yeah.
So it says here, verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity." So that means that the believer is looking for opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Good.
Let us do good. And I find out that it's so easy to do good to people. Because as you grow older, it's so easy to depart from things. You find that, you know, when you die, you don't take nothing with you.
Right.
If now look at the tombs in Egypt, they thought they can go with sheep, with a wife, with food and everything. They found everything over there.
That's right.
So the believer goes around doing good. Not because he's looking to gain something, because he already has gained everything. That's the point. You're not looking to gain anything. You don't come to church try to twist the arm of God to give you anything. You know, a lot of people are going to have to be responsible for manipulating people's emotions, you know, and things like that.
Right.
But when you know, you see, knowledge is liberty.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
In John chapter 8, it says, "Whom the Lord says free is free indeed."
Yes.
Now, by looking at some people, you wouldn't believe that. Right?
Yeah.
Because some of us, it would seem that we are in a halfway house. You see, it's funny, but you think it's the truth. Am I not telling you the truth? We're living in this house as if we're living in a halfway house. You know, prisoner, still a prisoner. We have to check from time to time.
Yeah.
No, that is not true. God's really set us free completely. No fetters, no chains,
yeah.
No ankle monitor. I mean, He really, 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 He really, 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 really set us free.
Yeah. Yeah.
And He has to include the bondage of being in debt to the world. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not preaching from the place of I'm not don't have debt, but I tell you, I'm responsible to pay them.
Right.
I prioritize. I learn. But I tell you, the first thing that I put over there is by His Word Christian Center. Not because this is my church. And thank God that it is. Because, you know, some of you don't send me often, but I've been over 14 years out there preaching the Word here and there. And there's no play like by His Word. And there's no pastor like my pastor.
Amen.
A lot of good pastors out there. But there's no one like my spiritual father, Pastor Cook, over there. I value these guys. I thank God for them. I pray for them. Because I know that they have given no sticks to digest. They give me the as far as they know, of course, you know. And when they taught something that is not been right, they have the integrity to come and tell us, I taught this wrong, let me tell it right. You know, that's, amen. I heard that many more than one time.
Yes.
It's good that you can have confidence, amen, in our pastors.
Amen.
And they didn't tell me, they don't pay me to do this. But you know, you go and put your money in their bank, and guess what? You don't know what they're doing behind the door with that money. I found out, you know, that they sell their mortgage about six, how many times? Tomas, you told me about that. All kinds of stuff. You know, they're just playing with our lives, so to speak, with our bread. So I give them a portion of my bread. I don't want to give them all the portion of my bread. I want to put my bread where it really matters at the end of the day.
Yes.
I'm telling you the truth. Eh? And there's some that will tell you, well, you know, I take my tithe and I can give a little bit over here, a little bit over there, a little bit in the church. No, your tithe belongs right here in the body of Christ, in the church.
Amen.
And if you're here visiting, your tithe belongs in your body.
Yes.
That pastor needs that finances. The vision that the Lord gave you, need that finances. Stop sending money someplace else when the money should be here in the house of God. And stop, you know, choking yourself by not giving what it's supposed to be. It's going to cost you. You're going to suffer. You're already suffering out there in the world by the lack. But you see, when the Lord becomes your true Lord, then you can say just like David, the Lord is my shepherd. Right. He can direct you with the rod and with the staff. Sometimes when He has to whack you a little bit, He'll do it and you'll say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord says, whom the Lord loves, He corrects, He trains.
Yes.
If you have not felt the correction of the Lord, you might wonder what kind of relationship you got.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And God is a good father. And therefore we have opportunity. Let us do good unto all men. Say unto all.
Yes.
Unto all. And then it says, but especially of the household of faith.
Right.
We're going to help everybody. But first, we're going to help the household of faith. Amen.
Yes.
Now, don't you go out there and forget what the Holy Spirit is telling you today. Because it's not me speaking.
That's right.
It is the Holy Spirit speaking.
That's right.
Telling you the truth. You can challenge this word, but you cannot challenge the truth that it is.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Bible says, you know, over there, the Lord told Timothy, it's the love of money.
Mm-hmm.
The root of all evil. You know, we all have needs, right? We all have needs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, it says, the Lord commanded us to think this way. Not to be anxious, like the world gets anxious. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because the world gets anxious, what they're going to wear,
right.
What they're going to eat, where they're going to live, mortgages, you know. And the Lord says, you don't be anxious for that. We haven't learned, we are learning, amen? That's why we're here to learn, amen? No condemnation, we're learning. Amen. No condemnation, we're learning. So don't be anxious for that. Why? Because your Father in heaven knows that you have need of those things. And then He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added unto you. So first that fellowship, that intimacy. That's where the rubber meets the road, at the cross. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. Now, I understand that the kingdom of God is not out there. It's right here.
Yes.
So the Lord is not as interested in my ministry as He's interested in building a character in me
that
is a reflection of Himself.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So that my need, that whatever need I have in the world is not greater, is not more important than my need for Him.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing can override and overrun the need that I have in my spirit for Him. It has to be more important than anything.
Yes.
Then no wonder when we read over there in the book of Luke chapter 14, He says that if you don't have father, mother, you know, and all those people that can speak into your life, because they are the close circle around you, He said, you cannot be my disciple. Meaning, He cannot put discipline in you to be responsible with your payments, with your job or anything, because the first voice that you're listening is not His voice. It is the boss, the sister, the wife, the husband. And sometimes, and many a time, you have to override their voices so that you can hear the voice of God and obey it.
Amen.
That's where you have to draw the line. It is hard. I don't say it's an easy thing. You know what it takes? You have to die.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, these sins can be tracked to our heart. Do you want to know where the heart of the Lord is? Right here, because we are His treasure on this planet. You can follow the heart of somebody by looking at the little treasure. Amen. Now, let me read something. I'm going to read this and close real quick. Some of you received this little book on the Father's Day. Let me read something here. Real quick. You doing okay? One of the chapters said, money, the treasure test. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. And this is written by Patrick Morley. He says, we never do anything for only one reason. No matter what the subject, we find many desires and visions and motives in our minds when we consider a particular decision. I attend a Bible study to learn more about Christ. I am also very anxious to fit in, to be like, and to gain the approval of other men. We don't always consciously think about it, but we all want to be loved. I want their approval, but I'm keenly aware of human nature's frailty. So I am careful not to say anything that would damage my reputation if repeated by loose lips. And finally, I confess that I'm still selfish enough to think about what some might be able to do for me later on. The logical question is this. If so many multiple desires, ambitions, and motives run together in our minds, and many of those subconsciously, how can we ever know if we are living a fully surrendered life, a life pleasing to God? To know yourself. If there's a litmus test, litmus is a little paper that you dip in a substance to know if it's acid or base. That's what it is. If there's a litmus test one can take to know himself, in one sense, you can never fully know yourself. Who can discern his errors? Psalm 19:12. Our natural hearts always have the capacity to deceive us at any moment. Tiny pinholes in our character leak under too much pressure. And our hidden or unknown needs motivate us in ways we know virtually nothing about. In another sense, though we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, though dark secret caverns doth landscape our minds, the blood of our Savior covers, cleanses and sanctifies the secrets of our sinful nature. Forgive my hidden faults, Psalm 99:12. The biblical Christian walks in the Spirit, while the cultural Christian gratifies the desires of the sinful nature. How can we know with certainty whether we live in the Spirit to please God or in the flesh to please self? Jesus knows that we are filled with a mountain of motives and an avalanche of ambitions and a den of desires. He knows many myriads of thoughts roaming our minds when we make decisions. He knows that our hidden needs for approval, respect, love, and survival compel us in ways we know virtually nothing about. That's why the scripture indicates that deceit can so easily seep in through the pinholes of our weak character. Even so, the question is easy answer. The first disposition of our heart reveals whether we are biblical or cultural Christian. How can we discover the first disposition of our heart? Follow the money. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus says, how we spend our money reveals what we love, our true affections. Look at where your money went, it reveals the first disposition of your heart. Where you have stored your treasure is the record of where you have walked, either as biblical Christian or cultural Christian. Follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
When the government or a business suspects fraud, the auditors always follow the money. The money trail, not the verbal trail, proves what motivated a man, what the first disposition of his heart was. Although good, evil, and ambiguous motives may commingle together, where the money goes settles the record. It precisely indicates where the heart went. If you want to know the first disposition of your heart, Jesus provided the foolproof test. He asked, where is your treasure? Where does the money trail lead in your life? Does it please God? Have you been storing treasure like a biblical Christian or a cultural Christian? The cultural Christian lets the words of these lies and the deceitfulness of which choke the word, making it unfruitful. The root of cultural Christianity is worry and deceit. Worry over the temporary world and deceit over the money, of what money can accomplish. To know yourself, follow the money. If you find it difficult to segregate the multiple motives of your heart, if you find it difficult to know if you're pleasing God, then examine the record of where your treasure is. If you suspect you have lived the life of a cultural Christian, you are probably right. If you desire to please God, to be a biblical Christian, to pass the treasure test, then redirect the trail of your money. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That doesn't mean we're perfect. Don't let this be a condemnation. But I believe it's going to be a star. Because people, things are not going to be easier. You're going to have more pressure. More pressure. Well, you know, when you are full of Him, the more pressure they squeeze on you, the more of Him comes out of you. Because there's no flesh, there's nobody else. You're full of Him. So I'm going to leave you with this thought again. That the need that we have for anything in this world cannot be greater than the need that we have to have Him in our lives and to obey Him. God bless you. Pastor Cook, thank you.
Amen. Very good. Praise God. You've been well fed. You agree? Let's all stand. Before we close this morning, I want to ask if there's anyone here that's never received Jesus as your personal Savior. Did you want to? Anyone here that has not received Jesus as your personal Savior, if you want to come forward at this time and receive Him, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues, you can use that. As we was teaching in our class this morning, if you want to hear your spirit, start praying in tongues. And if you don't know how to do that, you need to. You need to hear yourself praying. Hear your spirit praying, talking to God. Hallelujah. So if you want to be born again or accept to be receiving the Holy Spirit, then come forward at this time. We'll do that. Get that taken care of. We have people that will pray with you and work with you. Anyone at all. All right. If you need prayer for healing this morning, Victor will be up here. He's going to stay up here. And if you want to come have prayer for healing, come forward at this time.
Praise God. Yeah, I'd like to pray for people that are going through some physical ailment this morning instead of doing something else. It's not a shame to come and get prayer. It's a shame that you live the same way you came. It's part of you. It's part of you being blessed. So.
Yes. Amen. So come forward at this time, and then we'll dismiss. The rest can leave, but we'd like you to give you a chance to come forward. Line up over here and on both sides. All right. Praise God.
She's not leaving until next week.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else?
And let's pray for her. Let's pray for her. Yeah.
Let's come on forward. You and your husband come forward. And we'll pray for you now. Amen. We don't want to miss that.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Rebecca and Tim, I'm sorry I didn't remember your names. Come on, Victor. Let's pray over. Yeah, let's just stand right here. Everyone join in prayer.
Father, we thank you for your children, Lord. We'd like to cover them with our prayers, Lord God, with your blessings. We ask protection, Father God. And Father, they call it enduring freedom. We call for an enduring love, an enduring joy, enduring protection. Know this, that the angels of God are with you, that the Holy Spirit is with you, that your life that we commit to Him and to them are in good hands. And we cover you with our prayers. Yes. And remember this. This is not just simple vain talking. The Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails as much. Yes. And we're the whole body covering you with our prayers. And we're sending you with our love and the protection of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord bless you and your loved ones and keep you. And may you come and visit us back again. And may God bless you richly, richly, richly. And may He give you the desires of your heart as you delight in Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
God bless you.
God bless you. If you need to pick up your children, go ahead and do that. And I'll.
You're dismissed. Go ahead. Dismissed.